All right. Isn't there just a cool vibe or energy today? I mean, we had 27 people in the band. We had
and growing.
Rachel did such a good job of calling us to worship. Wyatt did Wyatt's job of doing the verse memory stuff. Where is Wyatt? He's left. I meant that to be funny. He's awesome. And that's why I want him to do that. Hearing testimonies, praying together, hearing different voices. That's what I always want us to be. And that's going to be a challenge if we as we grow to continue to have that kind of community. Where we're not coming on Sunday to sit and watch a performance. We're coming together to use our gifts to bring to the collective good of everybody what God has put on our hearts and what He's gifted us in and the words He's given us for each other. And I always want it to be this collective, collaborative effort of encouraging, equipping, and loving each other really, really well. Not just on Sunday, of course, through the small groups and through the one-to-ones also, but Sunday's when we all get together, right? We all of us come together and use our gifts and get to do things like have this great big band. I just love it. I'm so excited about how that's working. And then I get to share out of God's Word. And I won't be the only one always. Dan's going to preach some. Roy's going to preach some. We might even have some others that come up here. Ministers in training type things who will come and share God's Word. But we'll always have God's Word for you. And we want to present it to you in a way that hopefully captures your attention and your heart and really impacts you for the rest of your week. And so we're in Hebrews 12. We're going to deal with just two verses today, but I want to read the next five verses because they kind of all go together. We're going to go from 12 to 17, and let me just read it for you. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. That there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. And so we're going to stop there. We're actually going to take 3 weeks to go through that section. We're going to take a couple of verses at a time. What you have is our author has transitioned into now exhortations and commands. What he's doing is he's laid out this incredible vision for us all, and now he's going to give us the practical things that we need to actually accomplish it, right? He's going to tell us, here's how it looks, what it looks like. Here's how to do it, all right? As he exhorts us on to hold on to our faith, to run the race and actually finish the race, which is what he talked about at the beginning of the chapter. And then as he talked about how we're going to face opposition, he encouraged us by saying that opposition is not because God has abandoned you, quite the opposite. It's because God loves you, right? And so it seems to me as I was thinking about this next section that the challenge for us is going to be how much of this do we allow to affect our lives? You know, we can learn all we want about all this great stuff and be very, very knowledgeable about it. But if we don't actually live it out, put it into practice, we're fooling ourselves. It really is meaningless. It doesn't profit us at all. I mean, it's one thing to say Jesus is Lord and my Master. We heard two guys talk about how I'm surrendered to Him and He is my Savior and my King, right? It's one thing to say that. It's quite another thing to actually obey Him, to actually do it. You know, Jesus found it quite fascinating himself when he was on the earth. When he would teach, there's a great verse in Luke chapter 6. He's teaching along and then he kind of looks at him. He says, you know, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Right? That's Luke 6, 46. I love that verse. Because he's like, it's just lip service. You know? It's one thing to really grasp the attributes of God, right? The omnis. You guys know the omnis, right? Omnipotence, omniscience, omnipotent. I always get them all confused. But, you know, it's one thing to know that, to believe it. Say, yeah, God is all-powerful, right? Omnipotent. He's all-powerful. But to actually lean on him, to actually know him in a way where his power is made manifest in you is a completely different ballgame. And we have to open our lives up to that. My favorite is we believe he sees all, right? He's omniscient. He knows all. He sees all. He's everywhere. Well, it's one thing to say we believe it. It's a completely different thing to actually make decisions every day as if God's eyes were on us. Woo-hoo. Can you imagine if we actually lived that way? I sometimes, not all the time, I'm not crazy, but I sometimes imagine Jesus next to me in the car. And we're driving and we're just talking. And I wish I actually had that mindset all the time. Because it's the reality. He's with us, the Spirit in us, manifesting the glory of God in our lives for His glory on the earth and our good. It's actually true. Wouldn't it be amazing if we lived that way? Actually made choices every day to be holy. We're going to see this next week. It says sanctification. You can also use the word holy there in verse 14. It says, without which no one will see God. Right? You have to be holy in order to see God. Holy has a couple of meanings to it. Set apart for God. Also this moral attribute of perfect, right? So we're set apart for God and we say, yeah, we're holy. Jesus made us holy and we're going to see God when we die as he really is, right? But then every single day we make choices that contradict that. That aren't holy, whether in the sense of set apart for God or morally good. So we gotta actually be impacted by this. It's gotta somehow matter to us enough that we put it into our lives and live out of it. So that's the challenge as we get into this next section. If you have this book, most of you do, and you're reading along, it's day 47 in the year 2020, and so if you're anywhere near day 47, you would have read this section on studying the Bible. It's a Year with God devotional that almost all of our members have in their homes. And he makes this quote as he's introducing the idea of studying Scripture. He says, and as you study, remember, the proper outcome of studying the Bible is growth in the supernatural power of love. The love of God and of all people. We call this the 1 Corinthians 13 test. And he quotes 1 Corinthians 13 verse 2. If I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. And so the test of whether we really have gotten the point of the Bible would then be the quality of the love that we show. And so everything kind of boils down to that. That's the litmus test of a true believer in Christ. Jesus says, all people will know you are my disciples because you can quote the entire Bible. That's not what he said, is it? What did he actually say? All people will know you're my disciples by... Yeah, exactly. By how we love each other. By how we love each other. So, as we go through these, understand that we're all struggling. We're all trying to figure this out. We're all praying, God, help me. Help me. But we want to drive these truths down into our hearts so they affect our character and who we are. right? So we're just going to deal with the first two verses. It's two commands, really. The first command in verse 12 is prepare for the race. That's what he's saying to us. Prepare for the race. He says, therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. He has started off this chapter with an analogy about how this life of faith is a race. Remember, the goal of the race was not necessarily to win, but to finish. Finish. And because of that, and some of the other analogies and metaphors that he's used recently, like being sojourners and aliens on the earth, I like to look at it more as a journey than a race. He is saying, prepare for this journey. It is going to be long, it is going to be hard, but it is going to be worth it. So get ready. In fact, the title of this message is Ready, Set, Go. So the first verse is get ready. But you notice he says, therefore. Therefore. Therefore strengthen the hands. Okay, we always got to see what therefore is therefore, right? What did he just tell us? He just went on this several verse teaching about how suffering, even persecution, even suffering for Christ, is a loving Father's discipline. Because He loves us, His sons and daughters, He disciplines us like a father would, a loving father would, but He does it perfectly for our good in order to share in His holiness. And so if we're willing to accept it and be trained by it, we will see this incredible fruit of righteousness and peace through suffering. Therefore. That's what he just is talking about. So I put it into a couple of different words for you. Therefore, since those who attempt to frustrate the plans of God by humiliating the people of God with painful sufferings are actually the means by which our gracious God is lovingly training us to share in His holiness, strengthening the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. That was a lot, wasn't it? Did your mind even follow that? There's a lot there. Everything that the world throws at us that they think is going to distract us or knock us off of our journey is actually what God is using in our life to train us for holiness. Therefore, strengthen your hands and your feeble knees. In other words, because you are suffering, that's a sign God loves you. That He's got a plan for you, not that He's abandoned you. Therefore, strengthen your hands and your feeble knees. Do you understand what He's saying? What's the imagery here? If you look at the actual Greek words there, the hands that are weak, it's the image of hands that are low, that are down, that are dragging, because you're exhausted. You're exhausted. You're tired. You're getting beat up all the time. You've been straining and trying, and you're not sure you want to keep going. Right? Feeble knees. Actually, the word feeble there can also be translated as paralyzed or paralytic. And the idea there is you're paralyzed by the loss of hope. You're discouraged and you don't see an end to the pain, to the suffering, to the trials and tribulation, and you just want to give up. Right? And so what he's saying is all that you've experienced that's made you tired, that's caused you to doubt and lose your hope, all that you're going through is actually the sign that your heavenly daddy loves you and he's with you and he's training you up to share in his holiness so that you can finish this race. So, if I can put on my coach's voice for a second, suck it up, right? Let's go. Get ready for the journey. Stop for the start for yourself. I'm just being a coach. Just being a coach. That's what we do. You start feeling sorry for yourself, you start to give up. We got to be tougher than that. Change your mindset about why you're going through what you're going through. like Devin said, I used to get mad at God. Like, God, why are you letting this happen to me? Because he didn't see it from the right perspective, right? He didn't see it as God's trying to get hold of him. He's trying his best to grab hold of Devin. And Devin keeps saying, why is this happening to me? Because I love you. Because I'm not going to let you go. And I'm going to pursue you until you surrender and give me your life. And then you have the joy of the Spirit in you and the power to overcome whatever comes your way. Right? Well, I'm just getting all excited up here. I get to preach and coach at the same time. Bring it all together. Yeah. That's what he's saying. Suck it up. Because it's your dad who's in heaven that's training you up for righteousness. He's training you up for holiness. And you've got a race to run. You've got a journey to take. So let's get ready. Get ready. Ready, set, okay? The gun goes off. We got to go. And that's what the next verse is about. Okay? Verse 13 is head straight for the goal. Head straight for the goal. It doesn't really communicate as clearly as it should, because, you know, we're not Israelites. We don't connect as deeply to a lot of the Old Testament the way that these Hebrew background believers would. But he's connecting to a proverb. So I want you guys to go to Proverbs chapter 4, talking about Proverbs, Dan. Proverbs chapter 4. This is a allusion to 4:26, but I want to read 20 through 27 so that we get the context. You ready? Proverbs 4:20. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. And so whenever they talk about the path, whenever gospel writers, scripture writers talk about the path, it's a metaphor for either the journey or truth, right? Stay on the path to truth. And in the context of this proverb, what is the writer trying to get his son to do? What is it he's pleading with his son to do?
Take hold of wisdom and treasure it.
Yeah. Share, pay attention to the words I've shared with you, the wisdom that I've given you. Pay attention to the truth. Guard your heart. Protect what goes in there, okay? Don't let all this other stuff get in there. Fill your heart with truth, the things that are actually real, the things that actually matter, so that you can go straight on your path. To get caught up in other things, to delight in things that are not God, would be a crooked path. You know, you hear a lot of Proverbs about a crooked path, okay? So a straight path is a path that's built on truth, right? So level also is another word for that. Level. It's not bumpy, right? It's not rocky. You're not being tripped up by competing desires in your heart, but you're walking along a smooth path, okay? So that's kind of what the Hebrew writer is connecting to. So go back to Hebrews chapter 12, and let's look at that verse. He says, make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather healed. That's kind of a funny way to end that command, right? So that there's a reason, OK? Okay, you see that argument there? So that. Okay, do this so that. There's a reason he wants you to make a straight path other than for your own good. It has to do with somebody else, doesn't it? So that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather healed. Any idea what in the world he's talking about there? Okay, could have a personal application. Maybe you have been injured. Man, haven't we all? Haven't we all been hurt, damaged in some way by the world, by the trials that we've gone through? And as we are trying to follow God, the more we get distracted by the things of the world, the more we give in to the self-pity that says, oh, woe is me, God hates me, God doesn't know, why is God doing this to me? The more likely we are to turn away from Him. But if we'll focus on God, if we'll turn to God and cling to Him when we're hurting and depend on His Word, it's like making that path level and smooth so that when we walk on it, so say we've got a bum leg, it's a little bit easier to walk on, isn't it? We're not tripping on rocks and perhaps injuring ourselves. Actually, eventually, because we're on a nice, smooth, level path, we're going to heal up. We're going to get strong again. So it could be your own possible injury, but it's more specifically about those around you. It's more specifically about the people in this community that he's writing to that are just about to throw away their faith. They've decided it's too hard, or they've decided Jesus isn't enough. They're worried that maybe they should still bring their offerings to the temple. And they're considering walking away. In fact, if you look back at chapter 10, some have actually walked away. There have been a few that said, I can't do this anymore. This is too hard. And they've turned away from the faith. So he's talking about people in this group who are watching me. People in this group who are paying attention to my life, who are injured, they're hurting. They're considering whether or not they're going to go on in this faith. Or maybe they're in the group, but they haven't gone fully forward to trust Jesus with all their life yet. They're still considering Jesus. And they're watching you. They're watching me. And they're watching what kind of life I'm living. Here's why I think that's what this means. The word for path there in verse 13, it's built off of the Greek word for wheel. Wheel. It's just a word for wheel. But it's a word built off of that they've come to mean path. And what it literally means is the trail or the line that the wheel leaves, the wagon trail. The path that wagon is traveling leaves an imprint in the dirt. And so when you think about it as a journey or a race even, what he's saying is go straight towards the goal. Go straight to your destination. Focus on who you are looking at and go straight there. Make it straight. Don't wander. Don't investigate. Don't do what Devin did and see what is out there in the world, right? Go straight to the goal that is our Heavenly Father and our reward in Him. And you're going to leave a trail. Your journey leaves something to follow for the others. And so as they see your trail, are they going to be led to Jesus? Or are they going to be led astray to some of the other things that you are playing around with in your life? That I'm playing around with in my life. That's heavy responsibility, isn't it? Yeah. So he says, get ready, suck it up, get ready, set, now go. Go. You're on a journey. You're a stranger in a foreign land, and you have a destination, which is the heavenly city, which is to come. Aim for that. Do not get distracted, like Proverbs says, to the right or to the left. Don't allow your heart to be divided on any other issue, but go straight to Him, because A, that's your greatest reward, that's your most meaningful life, that's what you were created to do, and B, there's a ton of people watching. Everyone around you is watching. And the choices that we make will impact whether or not they believe Jesus is real. That's scary. That is huge. The choice I make with what I do with my time or how I use my resources or what I watch on TV will determine what somebody else thinks about Jesus. And he says, so that they will not be put out of joint, dislocated. That word means to pull and twist away from. It's like you're twisting and pulling an arm out of joint. If you go straight, that doesn't happen. But rather, people around you are healed because they're attracted to Jesus through your life. That word for put out of joint or dislocated, Paul uses it 4 times in the letters to Timothy, and every single time it's translated as turn away. Turn away. So that's what the writer is talking about. Go straight to the goal so that those who are in your circle of influence will be healed through Christ instead of turn away and become disabled. Right? So that's the command for us today. Ready, set, go. And we're faced with that choice. Are we going to go on this journey? We don't have to. We don't. We can choose to do our own thing. We can choose to dabble in Christianity. Come to church on Sundays, maybe even go to a small group, but for the rest of our time, just kind of do what we want to do with our life. Pursue the things that we desire to pursue, whether they're pleasing to God or not. Doesn't matter, really. I'm going to choose my path. We get to choose that every single day, if we want. And what this writer is trying to say to us is, choose the journey. Get ready. Because everything you're facing in life, God is allowing you to go through it to strengthen you and to train you. Get ready and head to your goal, because there's so many people watching and their spiritual life is at stake too. Right? So we have to be able to choose that. We have to see it as the most valuable thing that we can do in our life. And really, honestly, I can come up here and I can bang this table and ruin this recording. I could have written a poem for you that would have brought you all to tears. Not that I have the ability to do that, but if I would have done that, it wouldn't have mattered unless the Holy Spirit takes this word and changes your heart with it. He's got to do it. He's got to change your perspective on Him and this life in such a way as that you would say, I can't wait to go on that journey. I can't wait to go on that journey. I can't wait to run this race. Heck yeah, suck it up, let's go. Who's coming with me? That's what we need God to do in our life. So that's why we do these disciplines. That's why we're training ourselves to pray and to study God's Word. That's why we come together in a church setting like this to pray together and to sing together and to study God's Word together, so that we open our life up as much as we possibly can to the Spirit of God moving in us to change that value system that we would say, yes, sign me up, I'm ready to go. I want to be in this race. Right? That's why we do all of this. You know, it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about us surrendering to Him and running that race that He has set before us. Everything we do is to help each one of us to make that choice. And I pray that you would somehow, through this worship service tonight, be brought closer to running that race. And if you're already on that journey, which I trust that you are, you're just more encouraged. You're just more encouraged. Maybe you hit a hurdle, you know, like the steeplechase, you know? You ever see those guys that don't quite make the hurdle and they land in the water? That totally would have been me if I'd ever run that race. Maybe that was us today. Maybe that was us this week. You know, we went over that hurdle and we tripped and we fell in the water. This word says, get back up. Get back up. Shake it off. Keep going. Keep going because it's worth it. The reward in Christ is worth it. It's worth it all. Let me pray. God, I'm just humbled by the opportunity that we have to go on this journey with you. And I pray that we would see it as something spectacular. Even with its trials, that it would be a treasure to us to go on this journey. Even when we're tired, even if we get discouraged at times, that we would always pick ourselves up and take that next step forward. Pray, God, that as nervous as we all might be about sharing our faith in you, that you would always give us enough courage to open our mouths. That we would always be willing to even be embarrassed. Honestly, that's the worst that can happen to us in this country right now. We get a little embarrassed to testify to the great grace that we have in you, the forgiveness and the love. Pray that we would run that race well, that we would be faithful, and that we would see it all as joy. Joy in obeying your will and joy in knowing you. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So thanks, guys. I really did enjoy tonight. This was so fun. I hope we just keep doing this more and more and more.